listening to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Big Boss Man, probably wondering, why is he playing that? Well, today I have members from the Local 5 Union, or Unite Here. And we have Mr. Eric Gill and Ms. Lauren Ballesteros. And Mr. Gill, a lot of you know, is he's the Secretary Treasurer of the United Here or Local 5. And Lauren is the community program manager, we'll say. It's probably a more official title, but you leave it to me, I'll hack it up. But and I'm Carol Cox, the guy here who don't know what he's doing, but good morning anyway. But the reason I invited them here is because a lot of us know that these are difficult economic times, and we also know that a lot of families are impacted. We also know that many of you out there have some bad opinions or impressions of the unions, and so I'm going to ask you to put the bad opinions and all of that aside and listen to what is being done and how people that you know that probably will never tell you how they're being impacted in the workforce by big companies and how the bailouts are impacting them and how the tax breaks and all of that that is being afforded to the business owners. But what is happening to the worker? And you can call in. I'd like to have you call in if you have any questions for this, the two people here, Eric and Lauren, at 524-1080, and you can pick this up later on carolcox.com. That's C-A-R-R-O-L-L, 524-1080. Good morning, Eric. How are you?
Okay.
And Lauren? How are you doing?
I'm fantastic, thank you.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you guys came by because I, unbeknownst to me, the issues that are out there, we always hear, tourism is doing good or it's doing bad in Hawaii. But I understand, Eric, that tourism and the hotels now pretty much are fully booked. But how is it affecting, is it benefiting the workers?
Well, you're exactly right. They certainly are busy. And all you have to do is drive down to Waikiki and drive through and see if you can get your car past all the pedestrians and all the visitors running around. We had bargaining down there last night and had a hard time getting my box to the lobby in the hotel because there were just so many people there. They are very full right now, but they're still crying poor. And the industry is in a curious position of working our people a huge amounts of overtime and cutting staff at the same time that they're as busy as they've ever been. And it's quite remarkable how they can, in essence, say, wow, we're in bad trouble. But it doesn't stop them from doing that, especially in years like this where we're bargaining our contracts.
Right. And always they're saying they're not making any money and things are hard and they want more breaks, and it smacks in the face of deceit in a sense. What I'm learning now and what I've been reading, the worker is getting the short end of the stick here. Lauren, what you as a community development, what are some of the problems you're seeing are being conveyed to you by membership?
Community members, or membership itself. Well, the thing is, like how Eric is saying, is the hotel industry is on the rebound, but when we have these greedy corporate guys coming in, we're finding that they're still going to use the economy to take unfair advantage of workers and give out the negative propaganda that, you know, they need to sacrifice or cut back. And we know, and our members know, like the only way to real economic recovery is by putting money in the hands of workers,
right,
not by having them be laid off or be on call and have the workers who have the fortune to still be working have a double workload, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those are the kind of issues that we deal with.
Speaking of the double workload, I found something of interest. The hotel industry here locally and probably in other places are boasting that they participate in the green.
The go green.
The go green. Can you
notorious.
Speak to that? Because I understand some of it while using the name go green, flying that banner.
Yeah.
But in fact, when you really look at it, is it really benefiting or having a negative impact on the workers? Can the two of you speak to that?
I can give a broad. So basically the hotels are incentivizing guests to turn down room service by saying go green and, you know, save some towels, which they could do anyways. But they can go 3-4 days without cleaning the room, right? And what they do is they give them a voucher. So it started in Kauai, and from Kauai, 25% to 30% of our workers are out of work just from this program because people are taking it. But in essence, when we look back, our workers are saying that after 3 or 4 days of a room not being clean, you have mildew. It's dirtier.
Mm-hmm.
You have families coming in sticky, so they happen to use harsher chemicals. Guests are still asking for amenities.
Mm-hmm.
So in practice, in theory, maybe, but in practice, it's really more of cutting labor costs and workers. You know.
So it's really it's a disservice to the environmental movement and the whole concept of environmentalism, because what it is we call it the fake green program.
Mm-hmm.
And for years and years, if you go to a hotel room, you'll find a little sign saying, you know, save water and, you know, put your towel back up on the rack so we don't have to wash it again. And that's all fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody ever complained about that. But now what they're doing is bribing the guests by giving them food and beverage credits to turn down the service, daily service of the rooms. And what that does, of course, is it means that the dirt builds up. Now, somewhere in all of this, the company is taking the position that even though you don't clean for 3 or maybe 4 days, it's the same amount of work as cleaning after 1 day.
Right.
I mean, this is exactly what they're saying to us.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So we're over there going, well, you know, try don't take a bath for 3 days and see if your wife lets you, you know, come to bed at night, right?
Right.
And so the reality is these guys are using the concept of green to attack our workforce. And,
yes.
And turning down daily service rooms has a huge and immediate impact on our housekeepers, meaning there's less of them working because there's less rooms being cleaned. It means that they have to work harder for this in the same amount of time to clean more stuff after 3-4 days. And it means that ultimately their injury rate and all that stuff, it's a very physical job.
Mm-hmm.
Housekeeping is a very physical job. You have to, you know, you have to deal with heavy mattresses. You got to lift. You got to push things around. You got to, you know, they got to stand on the toilet to reach the top of the room, and all that stuff takes time. And the company doesn't want to give housekeepers any additional time for the additional work. So it's a classic speed up in the guise of a green program, as if somehow not vacuuming the floor and taking out the trash is going to help the environment.
Right. So it's a ruse.
Yeah, it's a con, and it's an attack on our workforce. But more to the point, it's also you know, dropping the standards in the industry,
mm-hmm.
and it's a short-sighted program in terms of the future of tourism.
Mm-hmm. Now, are there any government agencies sanctioning this Go Green? Have any of them spoken out? Anybody in support? Any Sierra Club, Enviro? I know we haven't spoken out in support of it. Any other environmental group gave a seal of approval to this, or do you know it?
Well, you mean to their program?
Yes, to their Go Green.
No, not to my knowledge. What's happened, however, is environmental groups, when confronted with this program, have refused to participate.
Mm-hmm.
We had a big environmental convention in our hotels in Toronto. You know, we're one union in across North America, United mm-hmm. States, and Canada, and Hawaii. And, you know, we communicate. We talk to each other. And so the environmental convention refused and just basically told the hotel, we're not going to do that. And and the hotel, of course, agreed because that's what the customer said.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to you know, utilize, in essence, the greed of, I mean, I won't call it greed. You know, everybody wants to get a good deal when they go on vacation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get a free breakfast and the housekeeper's got to stay home and not get any work that day, most guests don't understand that their free breakfast is costing somebody else their livelihood.
Having been a patron in many hotels, I can say that on many, many occasions, I walk out of my hotel room and I need something and I see the lady with the cart. So they're there and the workers are subjected to, excuse me, could I get a new towel? Excuse me, I made a spill. Can you change the sheet? So they're actually working because the company had said, look, if you take this voucher and get $10 off in our restaurant, that's already high price, you know, don't stop and ask to fully participate and honestly participate in the green program.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot contact our workers in the hallway and ask them.
Well, they don't have to because they can steal the towels right off the voucher.
And so anyway, I made that the first point of this to try and show and share with the public. This isn't being nitpicky. This is being to show you to what degree and what extent the industry will go and what they will rely on and resort to. To keep stay ahead and demoralize and demean.
Well, it's tied up to this whole Wall Street thing. What's happened in the last 10 to 15 years in our industry is that it's been bought out by huge private equity, you know, Wall Street companies.
Mm-hmm.
And these companies see their see this as a real estate transaction.
Mm-hmm.
In essence, a speculative real estate transaction. So they buy, you know, they'll put together an investor group. And the investor group is promised that they'll, you know, they'll be paid out within 5 or 8 years or whatever, you know, whatever period mm-hmm. they're selling their little investment product. And that investor group through that investment product will start buying hotels. So when they buy a hotel, they're not planning to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to flip it, right? They're going to sell
right.
it to somebody. Their whole point, the whole thing that they do, this is what Wall Street thinks, they're going to buy this asset. They're going to make it more productive, which means cheaper to run. And they're going to try to increase the value to the next buyer by increasing the cash flow. And therefore, then they'll get out.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't care. What happens 9 years in the future if they have an 8-year note. And so, you know, the problem for us is, of course, this is our jobs. This is our livelihood. This is what supports our family. We can't look forward only 9 years in the future or 7 years. You know, we can't flip the place and get out. Yeah. We need a place to work.
Yeah, one of the things, while being specific, and while being specific on this topic, let's speak to a particular. I read in some of the information you have, Hyatt. Let's take one, maybe the flagship of the industry. And speaking of big business, and then there's Saks Golden. So can you talk about individuals and the political connections and all? There's a Penny Pritzker. Share with our listeners about that when we talk about big business buying and trading and selling and how and who is impacting the worker here locally.
Yeah. Well, you see, Goldman Sachs is a subsidiary of Hyatt Corporation, and the Pritzker family owns Hyatt Corporation as well. The thing is like people are aware of these movers and shakers of Wall Street, right? So Goldman Sachs is one of them. And we see how, because they're under public scrutiny, right? We hear about it in the news. And so they exist here in Hawaii, and that's the thing. That's how the industry has kind of changed ownership in that respect, right? And so what we have is Goldman Sachs comes in and is doing the same thing, like how we said, cutting jobs, finding ways. And the Pritzkers are actually one of the wealthiest and most politically influential families in the nation. And Penny Pritzker, the most famous of them, is actually, she actually was a finance, the campaign manager for Obama's campaign.
President Obama. President,
yes, and she now sits on the Economic Recovery Committee. And so,
Look, the Pritzker family has gone through a number of changes, of course, and this is the second generation. Okay, so the first generation, the father, in essence, you know, started the company. This is Hyatt. Now, Goldman Sachs is of course, a huge investment bank, and what they do is they, you know, they do what I just said. They put together investment groups, and they buy and sell. And in this case, what happened was the Goldman Sachs and Hyatt teamed up to buy that hotel from Azabu Corporation some years ago at the foreclosure auction. So they now own it in combination between them. And the Pritzkers, what's the problem with them is, they're in, well, let's put it this way. It's the same problem with everybody. They're just the best example. Penny Pritzker, for example, has loaded huge amounts of taxpayer money down into the company's coffers. In Chicago, for example, they took, I think it's close to $100 million of money from the taxpayers in return for establishing a manufacturing plant for railroad cars. And
a union?
Yeah, no, it's a union shop. But
I mean, the name of that company is a TransUnion.
TransUnion is the So they, I don't know why they put.
I mean, why they use the name?
Leave us out of it, but
probably the same person that came up with Go Green.
Maybe. But anyway, what they did is they took the money, and within a couple of years they closed the plant and moved away. And then they go on. They go shopping for another community, and they got like a bidding war going on. And New Orleans got them and gave them more money. And then they put up a new plant with half as many workers as they promised. You know, half as many jobs as they promised that community. So Penny is a good example of what's wrong with our country, where the whole essence of everything is about money. And money is what values everything. Everything got to be about money, and nothing else counts. So they can take the taxpayers' money, put it in their pocket, and on the National Recovery Tax Force, of course, is she arguing for more jobs?
Right.
Is she arguing for an economic recovery that's based on real people having money in their pocket and being able to spend it in their communities and create jobs in their communities? Well, that's not what she's doing. What she's doing is taking those jobs out of Chicago and holding up New Orleans, and then producing half as many jobs. So Wall Street and Pritzkers and the rest of them believe, I mean, they're sincere about this, they believe if you make the banks rich, then the economy recovers. And of course, the banks are recovering, but working people are being locked in a permanent recession. They have no intention of rebuilding our employment base. They have no intention of rebuilding our communities and the jobs that sustain it. They're sucking the blood out of our communities just as they did in East Chicago.
Well, you're listening to the Carol Cox Show. My guest is Eric Gill and Lauren Ballesterra from Local 5. And if you'd like to call in and have a question, 524-1080, discussing the Local 5 concerns of impacts on the industry is having on local workers. Now, what specific, when we say your membership, your food handlers, or what is the composition of the workforce that you have here? Can you share with us?
Well, we have we represent over 10,500 workers in Hawaii across the state, and most primarily hotel workers, but also workers in Kaiser Healthcare Service workers and other food and service workers throughout the state as well, like at the Honolulu Airport.
We represent pretty much the entire workforce, non-management workforce in large hotels. We don't have all the hotels under contract, but in large hotels we will represent everybody from the accounting staff, the front desk people, the bell people, the housekeepers, the maintenance people, the food kitchen, as well as the food service. So pretty much the entire workforce that works for the hotel is who we represent.
Mm-hmm. Now, with these issues that you're presenting, what are some of your recommendations, and what are you looking for to resolve some of these issues? What are you proposing? You're in discussion now. What are you seeking?
Well, look, I would describe the issues as basically money and workload.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can break that in, and we have, of course, many proposals in relation to those various things. But workload is a huge thing, because what the companies have done is they've basically taken their profits out of our pockets.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout this economic crisis, these hotels have never lost money. And they didn't lose money after 9/11 either. They've learned how to make money in these downtimes by cutting our staff. And we've noticed, for example, since 2006, we have at the six Sheraton properties we're currently bargaining with, we've bargained with them over the last couple of nights, we lost about 340-something jobs in 4 years. And at the Hilton, even with a new tower, they promised us like 125 jobs, 125 new jobs, because we have a new tower going up, you should support this new tower. We're actually over 100 workers less than we were 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So what they've done is they've perfected a way to maintain their profitability at the expense of workers. And that's what they're doing, and that's what we're fighting. So we have a number of proposals related to that. You know, how do we, you know, and our proposals for the green program, for example, are really simple. Give us enough time to clean if you want
to go green.
Yeah. So, you know, so it gets a little complex, but basically you need so many minutes to clean a room. If it's dirty, you need more minutes to clean the room. They've given us less minutes, and so we're trying to bargain the appropriate workload in order to replenish our staff and take the pressure off our people.
And in a way, too, as you're saying, workload, I mean, if you talk to our members who have been doing this job for something like 25, 30 years, right? And so you have them they have been working hard, and with this double workload, you have women who, like, have arthritis. They just want to be able to go home and play with their grandkids. They want to be able to enjoy life. But with things like this, I mean, what kind of quality of life can you have if that's the expectation of you, is just to work all day and go home, you know, just tired. So that's what we're really dealing with, right?
Yeah. Well, we got a call. Steve, good morning. Are you there?
Oh, good morning. You know the Princess Kaiolani and the Moana? They're planning to build condo. Now, how is that going to affect the hotel worker?
That's an excellent question, and I'm glad you asked. Look, this is the problem here. We've had renovations for years, and when we have no objection, we want them to keep our hotels, you know, looking good and attracting guests so we can work. That's not a problem. What the problem here is, it's Wall Street. The owners of the Sheraton properties in Waikiki and the one on Maui and several on the mainland took a huge loan in 2006 at the top of the market. So in other words, they took a loan based on the 2006 valuations of the property, and they took a loan based on the cash flow in 2006, which was a record banner year for tourism here and everywhere across the various countries that we work in. And basically what happened, of course, is stocks fell out. You know, the Wall Street ruined our economy. The credit dried up. And so they can't refinance at the same levels because the property is no longer worth the same, and they're not having the same cash flow. So they need to build new towers in order to make their value up. And the problem for us is not that they're going to build a new tower. The problem for us is that they won't make any commitment. They're saying they'll do it, but they're not putting it in a place that's legally enforceable, that those new towers will have hotel rooms in them, as opposed to condos. And a condo, of course, doesn't generate any employment. And condotels, you know, those also can easily be converted into condos. They have kitchens, they're individually owned. If somebody chooses to move in or rent that room independently, we don't have any work. So here we have there's a very core, the most, you know, right at the center of the biggest job-producing. Waikiki is the engine of our economy, and they want to put full-time residences where we have hotels now. And the danger here is that you know, once they make money doing this, what about the next one? What about the next one? And Waikiki could easily turn into what Miami Beach has become, which is what was once a vibrant, you know, popular resort destination where people went to vacation, becomes an old people's residential neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Right, so that's what's at stake. Like Eric is saying, Hawaii depends on this industry, and it has for a long time, to provide good jobs, but that's what's at stake, right? It's being a threat by these Wall Street guys who come in, and it's real estate property. It's not an actual functioning, has workers. And so that's what our members are fighting to defend, right? The viability of our industry.
Good morning, Carol. Are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm calling because this whole situation bothers me as just another citizen here in Hawaii, and I want to know, what can I do? Do you want me to write a letter to someone? Do you want me? What can the listeners do to help? Because these are our brothers and sisters who are being hurt.
Exactly. And that basically is the message that we're trying to send, right? We actually have something coming up soon on July 22nd, which is going to be a way for workers to gather with the community to really say, you know, it's about Hawaii's needs, not Wall Street greed, and it's time for working people to stand up and fight that and push back, right? Because we're being pushed so hard. Our members are being pushed so hard and asked to sacrifice so much. And members of the community who I talk to, they're feeling the squeeze as well, right? It's the same thing. And we're trying to figure out what kind of Hawaii do we want to live in and what can we do to defend it. And so that's what July 22nd is really about. That's the story behind our campaign this summer.
So who could she write to, for example?
I would have her call Lauren.
Okay.
And we have a committee of community allies, people who believe in what we are doing and what we are stand for, what we're fighting for, and they help us a lot. They help us in the hotels, and they help us in the community, and they help us in the politics.
So specifically on July 22nd, it will be an action, right, in front of the Hyatt Regency Hotel to really send a powerful message. So we're going to gather. So if you want to join us,
at what time?
It will be from 4:00 to 6:00 p.m.
4:00 to 6:00 for the Hyatt Regency.
Yes, we would love to see you there.
Well, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Well, I'm not advocating unlawful disturbance, but any of you out there that want to show your support, you know, for example, when Mufi Hanneman want you to know about the train, he want to drive the point home to our city council and other legislators. He has all the union truckers to drive around. So I'm making a plea, like Mr. Hanneman would, for all you union folks out there. Today it's Local 5, tomorrow it'll be UPW or whomever. Mm-hmm. They take them one at a time and knock you off, and then you won't have any bargaining power. So show your support. July 22nd, 4:00 at the Hyatt, in front of the Hyatt in Waikiki. Is that correct?
Yes.
You're going to have a demonstration, and your membership, you probably anticipate what number of people showing up just from your membership.
Well, the last time we did this a month ago, we had close to 1,000, and we think there'll be more people this time. What we're finding is that the message that we are taking out, and we are confronting, I mean, it's not our choice. We would prefer to have companies that really want to be in the hotel business, that want to run hotels and own hotels and operate hotels. We would prefer to work for those companies. But we don't anymore. Wall Street's bought out. So we're confronting Wall Street. So our real message here is that the way to confront the problem people, the ones who crashed our economy, the ones who are taking their money out in the recovery and leaving us jobless, the Wall Street people that have ruined our country, we're the ones fighting them.
Was that Hyatt calling you? Does it ask you to settle out with them now?
Hyatt isn't anxious to talk to me yet, and they won't even give us dates before the end of August to discuss these issues, even though the contract's been expired now for since the end of June. And so we are confronting Wall Street. What I find is we go around the community as we talk to our members and to other people. People are fed up.
Mm-hmm.
People are angry. People understand that the big banks have hijacked our economy and hijacked our country and are running us into the ground. And the way to fight them, the most effective way to fight them is support the people fighting them. That's us.
Well, I'll support you because I'm sitting here and you tell me Goldman Sachs is involved here and we bail them out there.
Exactly.
And then we got Penny Pritzker on Obama's staff at managing and supporting. Sounds like a crazy, a spider on drugs.
There's something else that Penny's doing that's really sinister. They're really sinister. Hyatt has created a credit check company as part of their empire, and they're selling services to other companies. And what they're doing is they're basically advocating a policy that companies don't hire workers with bad credit. Mm-hmm. So first, Wall Street crashes our economy, puts 8 million people out of work, destroys people's credit, people are losing their houses, they've given up their cars, they can't pay their credit card, and Hyatt and Penny Pritzker are going to make money telling companies not to hire people. How are we ever going to restore our credit if we can't get jobs?
And
this is, it's sinister, it's evil, it's an attack.
And the Hawaii Tourism Authority has $90 million to support and bring people here to prop up that industry, and yet the worker who they brag about jobs,
mm-hmm.
I'm glad you're bringing this to light. Linda, good morning. Are you there?
Hi.
Got a question, a statement for Eric? Yes, hello.
Yes, I just want to ask a question.
Okay, go for it.
Well, some of my friends said that they've been cleaning a room, 15 rooms in a day, mm-hmm. and you think you can minimize that? Or how would you minimize the workload for those housemates?
15 rooms a day? I have a hard time cleaning one.
Yeah,
if you add it up when you take out the lunch period, which many of our members skip because they can't. They can't even eat lunch because they can't finish their assignments. So 15 rooms, it's one way to... We say credits because some rooms are more than one room, right? A suite is
right.
More than one room. If there's a kitchen there, that should count. Although Hilton, for example, doesn't want to agree that cleaning up the dirty dishes that have been there for a week takes any time. So what we do is we bargain the amount of credits, and it is 15 credits, which means 15 regular rooms to clean. If it's a checkout, we give more time for that, and so it's all a question of bargaining with the company, how many credits can be assigned on a day, and assigning the appropriate value to that credit. So that's what we do. It's a little technical, but it comes down to the amount of minutes that you get to do the job that you've done, and there is plenty of work for us to do. I mean, there's plenty of work for us to do. We could put more people to work just by agreeing with our proposal that you give appropriate amount of time to each person to work. So if housekeepers are given enough time to actually do the job they've been assigned, then they're going to have to call in more housekeepers. That's more people working. And the problem is they just won't, because what they've done is maintain their profitability by attacking and pushing our members' standards of work down. There's work to be done. They're just not filling those jobs, and we're not getting the employment.
Well, it appears that what is happening, they will devastate the workforce. Then, in turn, they'll have a workforce continually and forever, because if they overwork some, they're going to wear them down, wear them out, And then there's always, you're not creating jobs, so you're going to have a workforce, guaranteed workforce, because people are going to be desperate.
Mm-hmm. On a national basis, we gathered, because we have a right to see it, all the injury data. And it turns out that hotel housekeepers have a much higher injury rate than professional football players,
mm-hmm.
because of the steady, grinding, day-to-day work. You know, you're trying to push a chair with your hip. You're trying to,
And it's not from carrying the money, the salary to the bank and depositing it either.
No,
it doesn't sound.
No, well, we're proud of the wages that we secured for this community. Hawaii wages in the hotel industry, you know, due to the fact that Local 5 has been effective in building that standard over the years, are much higher than many areas of the country. Twice as high, for example, as the non-union communities where you don't have unions in the hotel. So we're proud of that. But that doesn't mean that our members are comfortable. They still have to work two or three jobs to make a living in this town. And those jobs are drying up. People's, you know, opportunities for second jobs. So here's, in this context, the company last night is telling us, well, we want to put split shifts in all departments because that'll make it more efficient for us, meaning the company. And what that does, of course, if you take an 8-hour shift and you split it across the day, what does that do? It kills your second job. You can't get a second job in a 3-hour split.
And then if you got a bad credit rating from True Union Penny Pritzker, you darn sure not going to get a job.
Yeah,
well, isn't it...
And just one more thing I'd like to say about the Pritzkers, because they're just, like, my favorite. But the Pritzker family in November of 2009, because they're the owners of the Hyatt, right, they cashed in $900 million. Like, this is, like, leaps and bounds of money. And in the 6 months following that, in November 2009, their shares were up 65%. So you know what? They're profiting so much, right? And yet it's at the cost of, we're obviously seeing it's the cost of working families.
Right.
You know, we're having to suffer because of that.
Well, when people say the unions here are getting paid too much, have you purchased a gallon of milk lately?
Mm.
You go to Indiana, and then they're working in a hotel there. It's not reasonable, but at least it's not double the cost for that same gallon of milk. And how does a young lady raising a family,
mm-hmm.
If we talk about they need two jobs and three jobs, you really need five jobs just to buy groceries and feed a family a healthy diet.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're down there working, doing the work of four people, then you won't have time to shop and even go get the discounted foods at the farmer's markets because you're either tired or trying to struggle to raise your children.
The Pritzkers and Hyatt have come up with this cute program called Refresh Program,
mm-hmm.
and Hilton wants to do that same thing. We bargained with them a week ago, and they said, well, you know, with this program, we can do 20 rooms a day. Housekeepers do 20 rooms. In other words, 15 rooms, if you add it up, that's like 20 minutes in the room. And they give you 30 things to do, you know, from changing this and changing that and scrubbing all the way here, and you've got to wipe it all down, and you can get disciplined if you don't complete that. But Hilton is now telling us, well, we can do 20 if we take out the coffee machine or something.
Well, I mean, we got to call it, but one point that listening to all of this,
mm-hmm.
in the back of my mind, my environmental antennas go up, and here's why. If a worker is working and doing four rooms or five rooms at a normal pace, they're exposed to chlorines and chemicals in the household cleaners. Okay, that might be a level that's acceptable, but if you increase that by 20 to 25 rooms a day, that means you've exponentially increased that to a level that it's not even a safe level because recommended use of these materials. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
And the accumulative impact environmentally. Mm-hmm. So I would hate to think that if I'm scrubbing with chlorine or some chlorine-based product, and I was doing five rooms a day or what have you, now I'm doing 20.
Mm-hmm.
The Carol Cox Show, I'm talking with Eric Gill and Lauren Ballesteros. Kaylee, are you there? Kaylee.
So my comment is, in spite of, in the face of all of these additional chores, additional expectations on the workers, how do you then ask the hotel? Where's the congruence of that with the aloha spirit that they ask the workforce to, display?
Well, Yeah,
it seems to me you're eroding the Aloha spirit on the part of the workers.
That was a good question. They're sitting here rushing to the mic. Yeah.
Or are they trying to exploit the Aloha spirit and take money at the same time? Just as they did in the early days when they came here and told our kupuna, oh, here's a bottle of kulehau. Don't worry about anything else.
Certainly be...
Comment, please.
Our members... We work in the hospitality industry. That's what we do, is we take care of guests. And we work, our jobs depend on us giving them the welcome and, you know, the treatment that they're paying for. And the problem for us, obviously, is as our staff is reduced and we're asked to do more and more with less people, you just don't have time. So the hotels now, they're all on a bargain. Well, you know, we're going to write you up if you tell somebody that's not your job, and, you know, so on and so forth. So they didn't want us to have the Aloha spirit and, you know, drop what we're doing. If the guest wants something, we'll go get it. And most times we do. But how do you do that when they just made you do two guys' jobs? And they're going to write you up if you don't finish the job you're assigned. So, you know, they want it both ways. They want us to show the Aloha spirit, which we want to do, and that's what we do. That's what we are. But they want to write us up if we miss something, and yet they demand that we drop what we're doing and whatever the guest wants. And... But most times that's not a problem if you have enough time to finish your own job. Mm-hmm. You know, I worked in hotels since the 70s. I've worked many years in hotels. You know, interacting with the guests is what makes the job good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a human interaction. We're taking care of them. They're happy. We like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't have the time and the manpower or woman power, you know, to take care of them, it's frustrating because we can't. We can't keep them happy. And how are we going to get them to keep coming back? You know, our jobs are at stake on this, and Aloha spirit is something real. Hawaii people are wonderful people. People come for that, but they are stressing it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Kiwi. Any other question? Comment? Anyway, what you're describing now, I'm a third party to this, and I know the Hyatt would never call me up and talk to me, and I know the Hilton, in other matters, I've attempted to contact them on, and it's deaf ears, but it sounds like management by bullying, where if you tell the worker you can't, or tell a patron that you can't do something, then you'll be fired or written up. So that's number one. Number two, speaking in the vein of Aloha spirit, the earlier caller said, what is it that we can do as local people to support you? I would suggest, and just this my suggestion now, is that, see, when they're in a slump, they run advertisement commercials to say, kama'aina rates are available. So they depend on the local people to bail them out during hard times and give you a kama'aina rate. So everybody flocked there, not knowing what they're doing is propping up this bullying management or this impact, these negative impacts on. So how can the local community help? Well, you can start, in my opinion, would be don't participate in going there at the kama'aina. Take your money and go to Vegas or somewhere and show. Really, I mean,
our members in Vegas will thank you for that.
Yeah, but I mean, but some kind of statement. And if they don't want to go to Vegas, then show up down on July 22nd at 4 o'clock in Waikiki in front of the Hyatt to support you, or call the legislators and ask your representative legislators to go on your behalf to support.
Thanks, Carol. I think, you know, I would have to disagree a little bit with that one. You know, the boycotting or not coming down doesn't help us. That means with less work for us. If the room is vacant and the hotel can sell it to a local person, we like that.
Mm-hmm.
We want to see local people. In fact, you know, for years I worked in Waikiki, and you can go up and down the street and not see local people.
Right.
You know, and how is the industry going to project that we are in Hawaii, you know, which is a magic name, mm-hmm. and people come here and they don't see any locals?
Mm-hmm.
So we want locals to come down. We want locals to come down, excuse me. But what they can help us. For example, you know, just like this environmental convention that went to Toronto, you know, they can say, I don't want any part of this green program. You know, they can say, they can join us in going to see management. Many of our community supporters come with us every time we go to to see management to complain about the green. You know, they come with us or they join us in an action or a delegation. There's many things that they can do.
And I agree with you, not to take issue with that, but I can say history says that boycotts have been very powerful and influential, and to dismiss them completely.
No, we don't dismiss them.
Right, we
are very effective at boycotting.
Well, I understand, but my point is not suggesting a boycott. It is responding to the question. So you just can't up and say, wholesale. We don't subscribe to that. Not saying that you should initiate that. I'm saying that all measures that you're taking and all steps that you're taking are clearly... none of them is a silver bullet, or you wouldn't be in the predicament. So you have to look at them collectively and apply pressure when needed.
You will see boycotts.
All right.
You will see boycotts in hotels within the next few weeks, in my opinion, because those boycotts will be organized by us.
In other words,
we will be asking people to stay away from these hotels as a economic pressure.
Right.
But a boycott that isn't well organized and isn't directed is not effective.
Yeah, I understand all of that. This is like telling the choir. I'm just saying to you, there's many issues here, and the way what you presented to me is frightening. So there's another caller. Go ahead, caller. You got a question for Eric or Lauren?
Hello.
Hello. Go ahead with your question.
Eric was commenting on the Aloha Spirit and the Papa interface with the workers. I was at the other part. What about management? What's their obligation to demonstrate Aloha Spirit with the workforce?
Mm-hmm.
And if they aren't demonstrating as described by Eric in the negotiations and the kind of things they're offering, then they have no right to claim that Aloha Spirit is something like a key. Thank you. I'll hang up.
You want to hear something funny? One thing like some of the hotels do is they'll have actually management come in from Texas and come and teach workers here in Hawaii, hospitality, how to treat guests, and they incorporate the Aloha Spirit teaching our local workers. So it's really interesting, their mentality in doing that, right? And thinking of, we think of the Aloha Spirit as something we grow up with. It is a culture that we take on in this place that we have through family, through generations, and like for them to do that also is really cynical to me as well. But in terms of their relationship with, they really aren't showing the Aloha you'd like to see.
This is Wall Street again.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I worked in this industry since the 70s. And when you have an owner and an operator that wants to be in the hotel business, that wants to take care of guests, that they understand that there's a value. And furthermore, they understand that the workers are the ones that create the value, that create the environment that people want to come and stay. But now that Wall Street's in charge, we have seen in every case, mm-hmm. when Blackstone bought the Hilton chain, when Cerberus bought into the Curia, when Goldman bought the Marriott and the Hyatt, in every case when Wall Street's come in, what they've done uniformly is stress and squeeze the workers to make more profit so that they can get the cash flow up so that they can sell another note. It's all about money to them. They have no interest in the long-term health of our community and our jobs because they're going to get out.
Mm-hmm.
So we're the ones fighting for the future of our community, and we deserve support for that.
And another issue, real quickly, we're coming down to the wire, if you could speak to the issue and the impacts on not just Local 5, but the lesbian, gay, transgender community. What is happening with that? You mentioned that in some of your talking points.
Yeah, Hyatt has, again... Hyatt has again shoved its way to the front of the pack in terms of being two-faced on this question, and in particular, the gay community is boycotting the Manchester Hyatt in San Diego because Doug Manchester, the owner, was the one who put huge money behind the proposition that overturned their rights in California. So the gay community is in a war with Manchester, and then what happens is instead of Hyatt coming in and saying, okay, you know, let's deal with this, they've been backing up Manchester in his attack on that community. So obviously for people who are fighting for civil rights, they take this very seriously, and we, of course, we're for civil rights, and we support them 100% in that.
Lauren, you got a comment on that?
I mean, ditto, it's the same thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all I like to think of it as just we all have a stake in what's going on in Waikiki right now. We have these connections, right, of this corporate greed, Wall Street guys, as Eric has been saying, who see, they don't see civil rights, they don't see human rights, they see profit margins. So basically that's what we're dealing with.
So we have a program called Go Green that appears on its face now and with some explanation that it's a ruse. And then you have this gentleman in San Diego who is supporting anti-gay legislation. And then we have another entity involved that is doing credit checks to undermine the workforce. Who are we dealing with here?
And everywhere in the country where workers are trying to become union in the Hyatt chain, everywhere Hyatt is viciously fighting back.
And they're retaliating.
So in communities like Indianapolis, where they make half as much as we do, and where they have to pay hundreds of dollars for family benefits, and where they don't have a pension plan, Hyatt is viciously fighting those workers all over the country where workers are standing up and trying to become part of our union.
Mm-hmm.
Hyatt is fighting them everywhere to keep their standards.
So now, go ahead, Lauren, real quick.
Yeah.
So we're down to the wire now. So at July 22nd,
mm-hmm.
real quick, in 30 seconds, tell us what you'd like people to do and how they can support you and what's occurring on July 22nd.
Well, look, we will have hundreds and hundreds of our members out, and anyone who wants to come down and support us is welcome. We ask that they join with us. We are very disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
We have marshals. We work closely with the police to make sure that there is no public safety issue and that there's no violence, anything. So we would ask people to come down and join us, and to join the crowd and be part of us and
be civil
and be as disciplined as we are in advocating what we're doing.
And no sticks with signs or anything of that nature, just right.
No, look, we don't need violence here.
Good.
You know, Martin Luther King didn't need violence to stop segregation in this country, and Gandhi didn't need violence to free India, and we can achieve our goals without violence.
Good.
Well, I'd just like to say, again, it's about corporate greed, working people standing up and fighting back and not just sitting around. It's like a choice to make. Let's do something about it versus just letting them come in and do whatever they want.
Okay. Well, thank you, Eric Gill and Lauren Barosteros from Local 5. You can go to carolcox.com and pick up. We'll post some things. And also you can go to Local 5's website, Unite Here, UNITEHERE 5, the number 5.org. And I'm going to ask them to come back and leave this open, because this is the little man's radio. So let's talk
some
more.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're happy to come back.
Okay. All righty. Anyway, today I'm just, this is off subject, but if you notice the front page of today's paper, there is the subject of Act 221 and its effectiveness. Well, a lot of people getting tax breaks. And one of those people is Mufi Hanneman. He has invested in the Navitech research. If you look in the article, you'll see. And now you see why he has no problem raising taxes and supporting taxes and increases, because he gets a break from Navitech Research and LB Ventures, all related research and development of lifting technologies. So anyway, just a tidbit, and we'll keep watching, and aloha. Thank you.
Listening, and tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show on K108.